vacation down in, I think he told me he's in Wittenberg, Germany, walking the path of Martin Luther himself. So that's really exciting. I can't wait to see some pictures and hear about his time there. He'll be back in the office on Monday. So in the meantime, if you need anything, you can contact Nathaniel Olson or Pam Tweed if you need anything. Special welcome to any visitors we have today. Feel free to sign the yellow prayer cards in your pews, and they'll collect those during offering, and also to sign the guest book. In terms of announcements, there's a pretty regular weekly schedule coming along the way. Of note, family camp starts next Sunday, and then teen and preteen camp are coming up pretty quick here too in the next couple weeks, so you can send your kids there. As for most of the other ones, they're listed in your bulletin. And are there any other announcements that I could be missing? If not, we will hear our call to worship, and it comes from Psalm 46, verses 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Please stand if you are able for our opening hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy.
May be seated. We'll begin our worship time singing thanks to God for my Redeemer. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." John 12:32. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. 1 John 3:1 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him."
Let us now confess our sins to God and to one another. Please humble yourselves in your hearts as we speak this confession, and it's printed here in the bulletin as well as up on the screen as well. So, Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans 5:8, and it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that is the good news that I bring to you this morning, that Christ has forgiven our sins. And they are gone as far as the east is from the west. And that's wonderful gospel news. I will now call forward Nathaniel Olson to read our scriptures.
Our first reading this morning is found in Psalm 145. Verses 14 through 21. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Our second reading is found in Romans 7, 15 through 25. Romans 7, beginning with verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Here ends the reading.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, and that will be printed on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whom he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. You may be seated. And now we'd like to call our ushers forward to collect our offering. Make sure to get that pronunciation right, too. Thank you.
Elika, that was beautiful. Thank you. I could have listened to that all morning rather than me. Good morning, everyone. I'm going to ask that you would rise if you are able, please, that we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 25 through 30 of chapter 11 of Matthew. And we do so in Jesus' name. As he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, Matthew writes, "At that time Jesus said, 'I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.'" Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. Lord, sometimes we struggle with your truth, first in believing it and then to try to understand and appreciate it. Lord, we just simply pray that your Holy Spirit would do his work in our hearts. Lord, I would pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, and that, Lord, you would open our hearts to this wonderful invitation of Christ. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I think if we are honest, we have all received invitations at times to some event or to something or some place where it's a long ways away. I know some of us as guys, we've always got a work schedule we want to do and projects we want to get done, and in the midst of all of that, having to stop perhaps to receive a wedding invitation to go to some wedding some distance away. And I know when Mary Ann and I were building our house, there was sometimes invited to things, and I don't want to do that. Christ issues an invitation here, and you would think by just the wonder of that invitation that everybody would just jump at the chance to take Christ up on this wonderful offer that he makes, but not everyone does, and that we've seen this particular passage of Scripture, at least in portions and sympathy cards, where someone sincerely sends a card, and in that card there's this portion of Matthew is expressed where Jesus makes that invitation to come to me and receive rest for your souls, and grieving people, how they need rest for their souls. But this invitation that the Lord makes here is a little bit different in his intent than what we might read in a greeting card. And sometimes there's people who are troubled in life, and perhaps we as believers in Christ have offered this particular verse to someone who's just troubled and down with the burdens of life, and they hear the verse and they may have even prayed for it themselves, but they don't really see any change in their life, and they start to question the sincerity of Jesus himself, that he makes this offer that they would have rest for their souls, but there's no rest from the burdens of life, and there's a reason for that, and that's what we're going to look at here this morning as Christ makes an invitation, a wonderful offer. First of all, we should all ask ourselves, do I really have this peace that Jesus Christ offers? Not just a peace with friends and family, but rest for the soul. And how important that is, that even as we live in this troubled world and maybe even in our troubled lives of challenges, of hardships, disappointments, it's just that I have rest for my soul. You know, our family is still in that celebration of having our first granddaughter, and it is such a joy. But even that is temporal, isn't it? Just when a child comes along, especially if it's the first one, that there's a sense of joy that everything else in life kind of starts to pale. It takes the rough edges off a hardship, because I've got Annie's picture on my cell phone, and about five times a day at least, I just have to have my Annie fix. And so I just turn on my cell phone, I look, and no matter what's going on, yes, that's right, I'm a grandpa. And life can be hard at times, but I have Annie. But even more so than that, I have Jesus Christ. And this is what the Lord is wanting to speak to us this morning. And as we look at this passage, we find that before Jesus makes the invitation to people, he explains that God has a part, God the Father has a part in the design of this invitation that Christ makes at the end of what we know as of chapter 11 in Matthew, and that God's design sometimes would be hard for people to appreciate. Jesus says, Matthew records, he says, at that time, and that time is the 70 have returned from their commissioning, and they came back just all wound up, that even the demons were submitting to them, and they were in awe that the Lord Jesus had sent them out, and whether or not they really believed what there was going to take place when they left, but when they came back, they were changed people. They just the wonder of and the power of Jesus Christ's name and the power of the gospel, and how people were responding. But it says here, at that time, Jesus began to pray, and his prayer is one of praise. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And what he's praising God for might seem so strange. He says that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. That the wonder of the gospel, that the that was going forth now, Jesus Christ proclaiming the wonderful news that he is the Son of God, and that salvation has arrived, and salvation, God in the flesh walking amongst them. And the 70 having gone out, and the disciples that have come to follow Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful time to be in Israel at that time. Because Jesus Christ was there, and people were hearing the gospel, and people were responding to that. But in the midst of all of that, Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. That Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus, the Son of Man, true God and true man, he praises God the Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I have a friend who says the hardest verse in the Bible for most people to believe is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. And that so many people just struggle with that harsh reality, I think, for the unsaved, is that there is a God, and he is Lord of heaven and earth, that he is the supreme almighty, he is our creator, he is also our redeemer. One of the tragedies of believing in evolution is that if you believe in evolution, you don't believe in God, you will never be at peace with the one who created this world. And there are millions of people walking around in the United States of America who will never have peace with God. They will never know true peace in their lives because they do not believe in a creator. They do not believe what Jesus is praising his Father in heaven for, that you are Lord of heaven and of earth. It's a wonderful proclamation that Jesus makes, and thank God he makes it out loud, that the disciples heard it, and we have it recorded here in Scripture, and Jesus is thanking God the Father that he has hidden these things, the wonder of the gospel from the wise and the intelligent. He's speaking about the religious, educated people of his day and those who would hold that their knowledge, their study, their degrees, or whatever it might be behind their name, God has hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. Praise be to God, Lord of heaven and earth, that the salvation of our souls does not depend upon our wisdom, our intelligence, our education, anything related to us. Jesus is praising God And he's hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. And there's been some things even very recently that if you scan the internet once in a while, Mark Zuckerberg says that the Facebook is going to pretty much take over what the church's role is now today. And it's the social media is of Facebook has a place that's going to outlast the church because, as he says, it's bigger than ourselves. And somehow he has assumed that something electronically that he has devised and made a worldwide event, that somehow that's going to replace what Jesus Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. It's bigger than what Mark Zuckerberg thinks it is. It's bigger than Facebook. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God the Father, Lord of heaven and earth. And I saw another article. I didn't read it because it was a video. And sometimes our computer doesn't work right. Do you have one of those? Yeah, ours is not working right now either, correctly. But it spoke about Stephen Hawking and that the ability to increase the intelligence of our brains, which is a good thing. I mean, most of us could do with a heavy dose of that. But when it comes to the salvation of our souls, God the Father has hidden the message of salvation from man's understanding. God opposes the proud, it says, but he gives grace to the humble. And Jesus says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, but you have revealed them to infants. Now, if you were the Lord of heaven and earth, is that how you would put this all together for the saving of souls? God did. Jesus is speaking here about infants, not so much in terms of age and chronological age, but he's talking about infants in the sense of the knowledge of religious things. People who have heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit's been able to do a work in their life that they've come to realize that that gospel message is for me because I am a sinner. That there's something just terribly wrong with me. That I just seem like I'm wired for sin. And then there's this guy walking around. His name is Jesus. And he says he's the Son of God. And that he's come to die for my sins. That there is life eternal after this earthly life. That I can be forgiven of all of my sins. We may not understand it, but we come to believe in it. And God is not saying that he holds salvation from intelligent people or wise people. He's talking about that relationship, that attitude of heart that a person must be brought to, that the good news of Jesus Christ, that wonderful invitation that Jesus is about to make, would be welcomed, would be received, and would be grasped with all a person has. And in the next verse, in verse 26, Jesus says this. He says, yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. There's a matter of our human pride that the Lord is speaking to here and what must be overcome before the message of salvation has any sense of impact on a person's life. What wise and intelligent religious people tend to do, and only human flesh has this level of pride and arrogance, and that is to deny that Jesus Christ is the Christ. You know, if you stop and think about that, that's a terrible thing to deal with. Only man, our sinful flesh, has that sense of arrogance and pride to tell Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross of Calvary, that you are not God, and that you are not the answer to life's problems, that you are not the source of my salvation, that I don't have to answer to you, I don't need you, I don't need this invitation you are about to make, because I have come up with something far better, far greater, and far more convenient than what you are offering in Christianity and the gospel word of Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord has to overcome in every one of our hearts and souls, that he could save us. And so when Jesus says in verse 27, not only does God have a design in the invitation that is about to be proclaimed to all who would hear, Jesus then makes a claim about himself. He says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. You see the quandary that mankind is in? No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And he's speaking about knowing here in that sense of deep knowledge, of knowing him personally, that nobody knows God the Father except Jesus Christ, and nobody knows Jesus Christ except the Son. That's the relationship. But by his grace, other have been invited into the family. And Jesus says, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. I don't know about for you, dear ones, but for me, that's a very humbling thing. My soul has been saved only because Jesus Christ has willed it. Not because I have done anything, not because I answered the call to ministry or anything like that, but my soul is destined for heaven only because Jesus Christ willed it for me and for you. No one comes to the Father but through me, Jesus says. Luke writes in Acts, and there's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is absolutely no option B. And we live in a world today that's just filled with all sorts of other religions, isn't it? There's other options on how you can go to heaven, and the list is just, it seems to get longer. But this is the quandary that mankind is in. This is the claim that Jesus Christ makes. No one knows the Father except the Son. No one knows the Son except the Father and those with whom he wills to reveal him. I can remember the night that Jesus Christ revealed God the Father to me and converted my soul. Some of us perhaps have had that recognition of what the Lord did when we were infants in baptism, and later on in confirmation class, that the light finally clicked on. That, wait a minute, the only reason I can proclaim to be a Christian is because Jesus Christ has revealed the Father to me. And then we stand in before the congregation and we confirm our faith that I believe that Jesus Christ saved my soul. No one comes to the Father but through me. And it's not like it's a horrible choice, is it? It's a wonderful choice that we have in Christ. And Jesus makes this wonderful invitation as we come to verse 28. He says, come to me. Come to me. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful phrase. When we consider from whose mouth and whose heart it's coming from. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, For I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. Come to me. I've thought about this passage, and as a father, I've tried to incorporate that, and that is that what a wonderful philosophy for a parent to have for their children. When we mess up, when we've sinned against the one who died on the cross for us, and when we sin again repeatedly, as Nathaniel read for us in Romans chapter 7, just time and time again, we sin against the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross, and we sin again, and what's he say? Come to me. Oh, how our kids need to know that that's the philosophy of the home they're raised in. When we sin against mom and dad and we break the rules of the house, and what do we do? What do we hear from mom and dad? Come to me. And we don't get a lecture on the law and the rules we broke. We hear, come to me. Oh, the homes of America are filled with kids with weary souls because there's just no break from it. They mess up and they go home and there's no invitation to come to me. It's a chewing out and a tongue lashing, or maybe even getting kicked out of their homes. And what a difference the Christian home is. And dear parents, if you want to model Christ to your children, then just adopt what Jesus Christ says here to sinners. Come to me. Are they going to mess up? Of course they are. They're just like mom and dad. And what does Jesus Christ tell mom and dad? Come to me. Are you sick of yourself? Are you sick of your sin? Are you sick of trying to make your life better? What does Jesus say? Come to me. You can recite the law. You know the law you broke. You can recite the Ten Commandments, and every one of them that you broke the day before, and you wake up the next morning, you say, I'm going to do better, and you go to bed at night, and you did worse, and all you feel is that guilt and that shame of failing your Lord and Savior. And what does Jesus Christ say to us? Come to me. Not run away. Come to me. I died on the cross for you. When we sin and we sin again, we begin to appreciate what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary and what the heart of God is. What does he say to sinners? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, yet you have failed again. Don't go away. Come to me. This is the love of God that surpasses all understanding. Can you figure it out? I can't. Come to me. Oh, to know that there is nothing that you and I can do that would exhaust God's love in Christ. And we could go out the door, and God forbid, but for whatever thing might happen, and break God's word, how horrible it might be, and in the eyes of people, what does Jesus say? Come to me. Oh, Lord, I'm just so filthy. Jesus Christ can tell you all about filth. Jesus Christ can tell you how much filth hurts, because he was scourged for that filth, and he was nailed to the cross for that filth, and he died willingly for that filth, because he wants to be able to say to you, as the Lord, all things have been given to me, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. He's not speaking just about being tired of life and the financial burdens and raising kids and all that kind of stuff. He's talking about the thing that just bothers your heart and soul every day. And that is your and my inability to live up to what God's law expects. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And what does Jesus promise? You will find rest for your souls. You have rest for your soul today? Like some of us gathered here, I'm finding that every morning I wake up a little bit more tired than the day before. But but my soul has rest because Jesus Christ died for me and invited me, come. I will give you rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, that gospel yoke of being yoked to the one who died on the cross, that wonderful good news that your sins are paid for, and that burden of the gospel. It's finished. That's what Jesus said from the cross. It's finished. The burden for your sin, for my sin, it's finished. I'm not involved full time in a church ministry these days. Right now, I work at a lumber yard. America's filled with people with burdened souls. People who really need rest, not from their work, just rest for their souls. Not only is this a wonderful philosophy for parents, come to me, but it's a wonderful philosophy for a church, the sinners with whom we work, play with, or whatever. They would hear that wonderful invitation from Christ, come to me. Nobody else is going to tell them, probably. Let it be us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. Lord, we want to pray this morning for anyone who is here that has never really come to that rest and that peace with you because they have never really accepted the invitation. They're still trying to do it on their own. They're still trying to labor under the law. They're still disappointed with themselves. And you still seem so far away. Lord, may they truly hear you say, come to me. In your glorious name, amen. Our next hymn is 482, Out of My Bondage, Sorrow, and Night.